Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the cozy confines of the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports, you can find them online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Great folks over there if you want to pick up a Yamaha golf cart or something fun for the kids that has a motor. I like those little ATVs. Lil ATV, or maybe a Lil motorcycle. You got to be careful, though. The kids have to take a rider safety course. That is not negotiable. Especially those quads. Because I think if you take a turn at 0.5 miles an hour, it flips and rolls like 500 times. And then they just, your kid's a smudge. They also have a great service department. You can head over there and they'll fix any of the existing gear that you have. Nick writes, those little fuckers would even haul my fat ass at 35 miles an hour. Yeah, those things are fun. But again, you got to be careful. Chris says, ask my snapped in half arm at 11 about that rider safety course. Honestly, they need to make the rider safety course more like fun. Like if you complete this portion of it, you get to take a couple of sweet jumps or something like that. Because half that shit goes in one ear and out the other. How many times in history do you think there's been a kid who took a rider safety course and then 1 second after the completion of the course, the kid's airborne like Evel Knievel over Snake River Canyon? I think generally, though, kids, they just don't pay. It doesn't stick with them. They think they're invulnerable, you know? You almost want them. You want to, like, get the thing and then put them on it and then hope and pray for a wreck where they just get maimed and they'll heal. But then they learn. You're better off, instead of wasting time on the safety course, to doing the old school 1976 drunk dad smoking cowboy killers. And then the kid says, do I need any protection? No, you need a t-shirt. What do I do? You'll figure it out. What if I get hurt? You'll learn. Nowadays, the kid gets the piece of equipment. Dad signs him up for a rider safety course. It takes like, 4 years. And then the kid's already too big for the thing. 1 second later, he's hitting a tree. Chris says, Muppety Floppity extremities should be a rite of passage. They are. Like, Chris experienced that. Now, Chris in Buffalo is a throwback. He's like 70s guy. And that's like the person that you want in your camp. You want guy who is an old soul like that. Rub a little dirt on it. You'll be fine. The fact that you had a Muppety Floppity arm at age 11 crack-a-lacka, muppety-floppety. I guess it depends. Now, was it forearm? There's two bones in your forearm. And then there's one big one on your upper arm. What was the breakage? And did you have muppety-floppety? Or was it just, I think I hurt myself? Okay, yeah, that's intense. Forearm compound fracture. So that's one where the kid, like, goes into shock. The bone was popping out of the skin, as Rick Pitino once said. Made you a better man. Really did. And then your mom's probably screaming. And your dad's telling her to shut up. He might even smack her to calm her down. That's the way it was back then. But you're not that old. You grew up, I'm guessing you were born about 89, 90, maybe 91. Okay, I was right, 90. So, yeah, I'm not sure how dad would have reacted. So that would have been 2001 that this happened. The 70s were nuts. You do that type of injury, and then you go to the hospital, and dad doesn't even know you went because he's bombed. You know? You're up north. You're at the hospital. He's still laying on the Barca lounger lawn chair by the fire with a heater in his mouth and like a 2-inch ash with barbecue sauce on his shirt. Chris says that his dad was a hero. He just grabbed a 2x4, made a tourniquet with a towel, and off he went. Yeah, you probably went out back riding more. Birch Barlow is here. He's talking about his safety talk. Right after my safety talk, I ripped through a trail, hooked a low tree, tore my ear off, which had to be reattached. Fuck helmeted pussies, he says. Okay. You know, I can feel that, and I'm here for it, you know, and that is proof positive that if you do happen to buy one of these great things for your kids, first of all, they're going to love you forever, and then they're going to learn because of their injuries. They're going to get a master's degree in safety, so it's best to get it out of the way. And then you might be like, well, maybe we should just break them in on like an open field to ride. No. Heavily wooded. You want that. No helmet. No eye protection. And just say, all right, hey, well, Dad, what should I do? You'll figure it out. Nick says, nothing was better than the old Honda three-wheelers. Yeah, they were like, picture a tricycle, but a motorcycle with big, fat, horrible, big tires. I shouldn't say horrible. They went over everything. Becca Shea is here. My dad didn't even know my name when I was born. He was so drunk. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody remembers their 70s dad drunk at some point, like sloppy. I have a vision burned into my head of my dad laying at the bottom of the steps leading to the basement when we lived in the city of Warren at my boyhood home, 31291 Maryland Drive. Most of my memories that I have of growing up are not good. It's usually something traumatic. Like I have very, very few memories, if any, of, hey, that was a good time. And that might be everybody. I don't know if any of you can remember something from your childhood that was actually excellent. But a lot of people, you know, I'm not the only one. This is my boyhood home in the city of Warren. Okay, so this window right here, that was my room. All these houses look either exactly like mine, ours, or the one next door, which is the Goldman's house. And we terrorize these people. In fact, the entire school made these folks a target. See that mailbox? It got blown off one time by an M80. I was laying in my bed in this room, and all of a sudden, I'm probably like 10 years old, and my entire room lights up. I swear to God, it was a stick of dynamite. And then I heard the mailbox rolling down this driveway, and I look up, and people are running down the street because they blew up Krabby's mailbox. My brother and I were in this room, and then eventually he went over to this room when the other two brothers left. Other two brothers were in this room. But if you were to go in this house, there'd be a stairwell leading to the basement. And, my dad was shit-faced at the bottom of the steps. This spot right here was where the giant Christmas tree was. And it was so damn big that the city of Detroit asked if they could use it for the centerpiece for their Christmas thing down at Hart Plaza. And a bunch of folks came and chopped down the tree and took it and put it on a flatbed truck. This tree right here in the foreground, I remember the day it was planted. It was put into like a little grower, like a coffee pot, until it sprouted big enough. And now look at that fucker. Easy's trip down memory lane with you. Always a good time. Chris in Buffalo says, "Hey, guy, you hear that bomb?" No, Dad was already gone by then. Megan says, "I just watched a documentary on Hudson's. Did you go there as a kid?" Well, of course. I would go to the Oakland Mall. And I don't know if they had one at the Macomb Mall, but the Oakland Mall was better than the Macomb Mall. All right? If you wanted an opportunity to actually finger blast, you wanted to go to the Oakland Mall. Now, I never did, but the chicks at the Oakland Mall were cuter than the chicks. She says, no, the Hudson's downtown, the OG 14-story building. No, I never went to that. No way. No, we stayed out of Detroit. We had white flight, you know. And that's the way it was back then. We never went to Detroit. I didn't go to Detroit until I could drink. And that was when we could go across the border into Windsor, which the age requirement for drinking was 18 years old. So we would take the tunnel or the Ambassador Bridge into Windsor and get shit-faced and then drive back into the country. And then the customs dude at the border, they were all fucked up. There's three guys in the back seat of the Catalinas, beer cans everywhere on the back dash. We're completely bombed. And he's like, "Where are you coming from?" "Oh, just driving around Windsor. It's a good time." Okay, go on. Where are you going? Warren. All right, get the fuck out of here. Badger says the titty bars. I remember when my friends took me to a titty bar called the Million Dollar in Windsor. The night before I got married. And I've not been to one since. I was such an idiot. I've told this story before. My groomsman got me a lap dance. Never been more uncomfortable in my entire life. And I was uncomfortable in general. I didn't like it at all. But this chick was dancing in front of me. And something had happened. And at some point in her life, she suffered an accident or someone hurt her. Or I don't know what happened, but there was an enormous scar right where the butt cheek meets like the back of her leg, the hamstring. And I actually said out loud while she was actually standing in front of me and I was looking at her asshole. And I go, ah, look at that scar. And I feel elbows from my pals hitting me. This dude, Kyle, he hits me, he goes, shut the fuck up. And later on, I go, what? I have no idea why that was bad. He goes, dude, what the fuck, man? I mean, what if her dad stabbed her or something? You don't point that out. Just shut up. He goes, do you ever just shut up? God. Badger says, ha ha. Rebecca says, a BBL gone wrong before the BBL was as popular as it is now. I don't know what you mean by that. Nick says, that's an HLL stripper. Tyler says, quote, good thing I'm a boob guy. That ass looks weird. I'll never forget her, though, because she turned around and she leaned into my face and she whispered, just relax. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, easy for you to say. And she was, she had the prettiest face I've ever seen. Well, I mean, next to my wife, of course. Amy says, oh my God, EZ's Canada drinking stories sound like mine too. And it was another time when we went the wrong way out of Windsor and no one was really paying attention because we were having so much fun. And then we wound up in fucking Leamington. Like, where the fuck is this place? Where are we? Now, you have no GPS. We didn't know where we were lost. I mean, it was very easy to get lost back then. So we had to pull over and get a map. We had to go buy a paper map. So here we are bombed. The map is huge all over the interior of the car. This is terrible. Let's just go. And we like lay it on the hood of the car. And then we're like, okay, we're right here and we need to get here. So we got to go. And it's all city driving. But we were kind of getting deeper into Canada and then we kind of figured it out. And next we ended up getting back into the U.S. at like 3 a.m, which made it even more suspicious to the, never once got stopped and asked to, you know, have them search our car. They were looking for bigger fish, you know? Megan says, getting stuck in the tunnel, having to pee and puke, always tense and silly as hell, never my car. Black Belt Nick, being told to shut the fuck up so we don't get inspected. Yeah, we had figured it out that they don't give a shit about us. So, by the time we were seasoned veterans going to and from Canada, we just... You know, people were throwing up in the car. The border guards didn't even care. The beer was stronger in Canada than, yes, it was. Oh, my God. Rebecca says, make sure the front seat passenger had the printed MapQuest directions. Yeah, I'm even before that time. We didn't even have the internet. This is like 1988. I don't even think the internet may have been invented, but only like 3 people were on it at that time. Whenever I see this house in the city of Warren, it takes me back. I don't know about you if you're the same as me, but I will sometimes just look. I'll just go to this spot on Zillow and look at the house, or else I'll go to Google Street View and just look at the house. I don't know why I like to do this. I do that with this residence. I do it with the homes that I've lived in the past, the house that I owned in Midland, which I bought for $68,000. The homes that I had in Tennessee. In fact, here in West Michigan, I will go out of my way and drive down the street that I lived on before I lived here. And then I said to Pooh Bear, I go, I want to buy that house back. And I actually know I sold it to a friend. I go, hey, if you ever sell that house, I want to buy it back. I don't know why I enjoy that so much. I would love to just go and buy all those homes again. And I don't know why. Piano Finger Banger says it's a nostalgia rush. I'm even planning a trip, and I might have talked about this recently. Something that I thought was destroyed has not been destroyed. The mobile home of rock and roll Z93, my first commercial radio job in the 90s, early 90s. That's where the Joe and the Poor Boy show started. That mobile home is still there. And I don't know. I don't think it's in use. I think it's just a vacant building on a piece of property in the middle of nowhere, literally the middle of nowhere. I want to break in and, or at least, peer in the windows. And it's going to be total. You ever see those people online who explore ruins of like in Detroit, the Grandy Ballroom, that this venue where some amazing acts played back in the day. And anytime I hear about ruins of Detroit and people like looking through old buildings, if they're still there. And that's what I'm shooting for. But to get there, I have to walk down a dirt road, which has homes by it now. And so I think I'd have to do it. I think I'd like to park my car. Urban Explorers, that's what they're known as. Thank you. I was searching for a word, but I couldn't, or a term, but I couldn't quite get it. Thank you. Park my car. There's a high school nearby. Park in the parking lot. And then I'll walk in under the cover of night. And I'll try to my plan is try to open the windows and get into the dwelling. Because, I mean, the memories there, they're burned in my brain. And it's like an itch that I cannot scratch, you know? And so I find that I do this with anything that I have spent any amount of time in. Like my old days at GRD, I want to walk through those halls again, especially I want to see how the renovations are. But nearly everyone in the radio industry in this town hates my guts. I have zero allies at GRD. I'm hoping that they, over time, because the way radio works, a lot of times people from one company will migrate over to the other company when they all get fired, and then they'll come back, and it's back and forth. So I'm hoping that over time I'll get an ally that works there, and then I'll say, hey, I want to walk through the halls. But the Z93 thing has to happen, which means I would make a dedicated trip just to go over there for this. I have no other reason other than to see that and to see this old fucking house. Tyler says, doesn't sound like anything could go wrong. And then I will give some great consideration to actually breaking in. I'm just hopeful that they don't have a camera there. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, the old Packard assembly plant is a popular spot to explore in Detroit. Now, is that different than the museum, the Packard Museum? Because the old Packard Vehicle Museum and Proving Ground is literally across the street from my dad's house. They made this vehicle back in the day. And from a bygone era, you can actually get tours of the old Packard plant in the Proving Ground, where they would test drive these old-ass vehicles back in the day. Rebecca says, easy show, listener road trip to Canada to relive our youth. Stop by to see the new RoboCop statue. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Megan says, okay, can you imagine me being the chaperone if I was still driving limo, driving a bus? Tyler says, quote, former FBHW radio host busted for breaking and entering. What about this? What if we come up with these adventures to go on? And it's a drawing. And in order to get in on the drawing, it's a Patreon drawing. You buy a raffle ticket for $100. So five people will join Pooh Bear and I and will be in the fraud bus. And we will go on these, there you go, big fraud tours. We'll go on these adventures. Oh, my God. We could do shows. I would have to make it fair, though. No special preferences. Now, we all know that these ideas that come up, they never come to fruition if I talk about them on this show. Megan says lame because I could suspect she was like, I get to go. I get to go. Proceeds go to the great food giveaway. No, proceeds go to me. Go to the old haunted prison in Philadelphia together and stay the night. Good times, to be sure. At the risk of getting yelled at by Easy Show audience members, I did my interview yesterday with the Doc of Rock, Doug Podell. I posted it to Facebook. You can check it out. I don't know if I can, if I did as good of a job as I could have in describing to you about how big of a deal this was to me. Had it not been for people like Doug being on the radio and doing what he did, young, impressionable EZ would not have fallen into love with radio. It wouldn't have happened. You have to understand, in Detroit in particular, there's only a few towns where this happened. The radio hosts back in those days, the 1970s, 80s, and on into the 90s, were as popular or more popular than the artists that they were playing on the air. For whatever reason, it was unbelievable. And well, at least from my perspective, and I watched it. So growing up, I listened to the Doc of Rock, Doug Podell. And I worked with him for a brief amount of time. He was my boss for the six-month time at the Riff. And he was very kind to me during a very, very difficult time. And he gave me some sage advice. I talk about it in the interview. He said to me, you need to go to a small market like Knoxville. And lo and behold, I got a job in Knoxville. And the rest is history. So we talk a lot about that, about his time. In fact, he started talking about me, and I was like, Doug, I'm not here to talk about you. Or I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about you. But the dude put in 50 years. And tomorrow is his last day on the air. So if you have any interest in radio talk, because I know a lot of people that do listen to the show enjoy my old radio stories. Well, we didn't get to do any of the dirty secrets of radio, because especially back in that day, 70s and 80s, there's a lot of times that the A&R guy would bring you the new Aerosmith with an envelope full of Bolivian marching powder. We didn't get into any of that, but those things definitely happen. So this was a kick in the head for me. And he said, you know, I was asked many times to do podcasts, interviews for this. And he goes, I turned them all down. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking great. Doug's a legend. Tomorrow's his last day. The interview is on Facebook. There's an audio version of the same interview available on the podcast platform, or there's a link to it on the Facebook post. Thanks to Doug. That was fun. All right. Thank you to the sponsors that helped make this show go round. We already talked about Impact Power Sports. I want to mention Merchant Automotive. If you're riding around town in your big-ass truck with a Duramax diesel engine or an Allison transmission and you need any type of service, call upon Merchant Automotive. One of my latest sponsors, M-E-R-C-H-A-N-T, merchant-automotive.com. Now, I know you can probably do the work yourself, but if you get in the weeds, they are in Zeeland, Michigan, and they will help you get right with whatever the problem is. Reach out to them. You can just check out their website. All their contact info is there. Merchant-automotive.com. They also specialize in their fabricating department in creating these top-of-the-line aftermarket kits, which can improve the performance or repair your vehicle with the engine or the transmission or anything on that vehicle, on your diesel truck, if you're a DIY pro. So I suggest you go to merchant-automotive.com for you gearheads and DIY enthusiasts. And take a look at the products that can make your diesel truck perform that much better. Merchant-automotive.com. For the folks who are enjoying the show on Facebook, Kick, and YouTube, I'm going to kick you out and recommend that you sign up for the stream on Twitch. That's where the bulk of the show appears, twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. I have a lot more that I'm going to talk about today. That's twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. And if the free show is like, all right, that's great, but I wish I had more, I have a Patreon. You can get to that by going to patreon.com/Eric Zane. That is a pay-for-play platform. If you want my audio from all of my shows that I have on there, you can go to patreon.com/Eric Zane. $5 a month for the audio. $10 a month for audio, video, live streams, live shows, Zooms, and on and on and on. Appreciate you so much if you're already on there. In fact, I make it so simple. You can sign up for 7 days free at patreon.com/Eric Zane to try it out. We do a lot of shows there. Probably my favorite show, and I think by the audience standard, in addition to the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, is Who Are These Free Beers? As we review current episodes of one of America's top morning shows and critique them and give them an air check. And, you know, there have been times that we've been doing that show and we've given them some actually constructive criticism. Most of the time, I'm being mean. Ben, not so much. Ben's more constructive than I am. But it's fucking hilarious. So check it out for free at patreon.com/Eric Zane. 79 episodes of Who Are These Free Beers? Okay, I want you to stay right there. I'm going to head over to the boys' room. And I'll be back momentarily. Sit tight. And we will continue things. Thank you. All right, I'm back. It was fun. Not really. Well, I said that going to the bathroom was fun. I heard from Jeremy K. Once a regular here in the chat. Still a listener. But I've got this really interesting update that I'd like to share from Jeremy. And I was very appreciative that he did this, that he sent this along. In case you have forgotten, I'm sure you haven't, Jeremy K. was the guy who, not this most recent September, but the one prior to that, he was down in the dumps because he had gotten word that an ex-girlfriend, not that long an ex-girlfriend, when she was dating him, had cheated on him. And he had the blues, okay? And I think while he had the blues, something came up about how he didn't feel comfortable with his weight. I'm probably screwing some of this up. And I'm not sure exactly how it went at this point. I could have swore. Okay. No, I had said to him, I go, well, why don't you lose the weight? Why don't you start today and lose the weight? And that's about the extent of my influence. I don't think I did much more than that. I might have been a little bit more elaborate as to what I was saying. And, he did. He just started right then losing weight. And that was the basis for the, the fat-a-thon. So every week we check in with him. And I think out of like the next year, there was maybe 1 week or one or two where he gained a little weight. Every other time he lost weight. So he went from north of 335 pounds to where he is now. He lost all of the weight that he wanted. His goal was 200. He actually is under 200. Now, during that time as well, there was a moment on here in the chat when Rebecca, Miss Twat-a-Lot, was chit-chatting away like she always does. And so was Jeremy. And there was a little bit of a playful, flirty going on. And then Tophus, I think it was, suggested that they should go out on a date or something like that. He gets a credit for that. Okay? And then, they hit it off. Now they're like, peas and carrots. So he lost the weight. He got the girl. By the way, I should point out that while he was losing the weight, his beloved father, Feech, passed away, and his puppy dog passed away. So that was a real bummer, but he didn't stop. This guy, to me, is a role model. I look to him. He just reached out to me. Got some exciting news. I'm stoked about this. Easy. Just wanted to check in with my current fat-a-thon progress as well as some life updates. I'm currently between 193 and 197 on any given day. That's about where I've been since mid-October. I'm very happy with that. I'm teaching myself how to maintain my weight long-term, which is how I'm going to turn this into a lifelong change. I'm teaching myself what to do on a day-in, day-out basis and turning good habits that I have to think about into routines that just comes such second nature, so I don't even have to think about it. I think it's going well so far, one day at a time. That's an outstanding outlook. Let me just say that. If you're a fat slob and you adopt this mentality, you will be successful. I can promise you that. In fact, I look to that as disgusting as I've become, 30 pounds heavier than I need to be. He says, I had two Thanksgiving dinners last week, one with my family, one with Becky's. I only gained a pound for the week. No problem for me. I'm perfectly fine with that. Every once in a while, you have to let it fly. And if letting it fly is only adding a pound, well, that's better than it used to be. And he writes this. This is the best part. Non-fat-a-thon update. I thought he was kidding with this first line. I've been baking cheesecakes a lot lately. It's a ton of fun and a delicious treat. I'm thinking to myself, did he just stumble upon this? Or has he been baking cheesecakes his whole life? You know, what's interesting is I don't know the first thing about making a cheesecake. In fact, when they say cheesecake, is that cream cheese they're talking about? Or is it like cheddar? I know they're delicious. I think it's cream cheese. I think I'm getting quite good at being a cheesecake maker. And I have a bunch of ideas for unique cheesecakes that I've never seen before that I want to try to make. I believe I'm going to spend the winter perfecting my recipes, and then I will start selling them in my free time in the spring at farmers markets. This guy is so interesting. Also, I'll sell them at town fairs, craft shows, etc., in the hopes of turning that into my own business. One of the very last conversations I had with Feech, my dad, was about my displeasure with the trucking industry. He's a truck driver. We had this conversation the week before he passed, and he suggested I go to culinary school and follow my passion for food. At the time, that wasn't financially viable. However, things are going pretty well with Becky, and I'm now thinking about selling my house, moving in with her. Boy, I hope I wasn't supposed to keep this a secret. And taking a chance on starting my own cheesecake bakery that also sells coffee and pies. This is a plausible path towards following my dreams as well as honoring Feech's legacy. And it was all made possible due to the chat on your podcast. So I guess he's suggesting these things have fallen in line the day he decided to not be fat anymore. And the argument can be made that that is true. This weekend, easy, I will be working on a new cheesecake recipe. I'm going to make a coffee cheesecake with Biscoff cookie crust and a caramel sauce drizzle. I have about 15 ideas I want to try out, and I'm really hopeful that I'm able to follow through with this. If Fat-a-thon has taught anything about me, it should be that if I set my mind to something, it will be accomplished. Hope all is well with you. I missed the chat, and I still listen to the audio every day. Look forward to helping with the great food giveaway, and I can't wait to see everyone there. Outstanding email. What an update. Skip writes, he's not fat anymore, but he's going to open up a place that sells cheesecakes and pies? LOL irony. I'll support you, Jeremy. He needs a weekly feature in his cheesecake shop. Another way to honor dad. A feech is in reference to the Sopranos character Feech LaManna. I think there was a picture of his dad that reminded me of Feech. And that takes us back to, in my opinion, hang on.
When you've got a classic ride, you need two.
one of my favorite scenes in The Sopranos. Tony Blundetto and Feach are riding through town, and Feach notices one of the landscapers is working in the wrong neighborhood. You know, it's all mob. So Feach pulls over to have a word with the guy landscaping property in an area that he shouldn't be in. This is that scene. I love this scene. Robert Loggia is the guy who plays Feach. He's passed on.
Thanks for lunch.
Stick with me, kid. I have you eating lunch like that every day.
I'm serious about this massage therapy.
Well, you should keep a square job like that for appearances. Look at me with the bakery.
Would be a criminal.
I told my cousin I want to stay a civilian.
Ah, yes. The boy king.
The drum.
Can I trust you if I talk to you frankly about him?
Talking about something. Okay, but now Feach has to stop his thought because he notices the landscapers. This is where it gets really awesome. In fact, we lifted a great couple of drops out of this scene for the Free Beer and Hot Wing show. You'll know if you know the drops.
What are you doing?
I gotta make a stop. What are you doing?
I'm trimming a lawn.
My nephew does the lawns in this neighborhood.
I've been working this neighborhood for 26 years.
Are you fucking deaf? I said my nephew has this area, Gary LaManna.
Well, fuck off, huh? But I'm busy here. You want me to fuck off? How about I fuck off all over your stupid fucking face? You fucking mutt, huh? You don't work this neighborhood!
Jesus Christ, we're on parole. What the fuck you doing?
That arm break. Holy shit, David Chase. Absolute legend. I will link up that scene in the show notes. It's unbelievable. I find myself more and more watching old Sopranos clips. Tyler says he looks like Meathead. Oh, yeah. Great scene. All right. So that is the update. Speaking of that, yesterday at about 1,450 calories, 1,450 into the day, I stopped eating. And now the problem is I stopped early. I normally eat till 7, 8 o'clock at night. This is 6 o'clock. It's at the hockey game. They had some barbecue. And so I had a few chicken wings, and I had about 4 ounces of pulled pork, and that put my daily caloric intake in that range, which is, again, in that sweet spot, 500 to 800 calories under the daily requirement. That was closer to 900, though, because I'm supposed to get like 2350 or something like that. I just keep it under. It's good to go. And so then I get home. Now, this is where I could get into trouble. If I walk past that pantry with the sugar cereals, which are still there. And boy, I wanted to. Oh, my God. And I came in and I pumped myself up. I wrapped my mind around the idea when I was pulling in the driveway. I go, get in the house, go to bed. Feed the cat, feed the cats, go to bed. Do not hang out in the kitchen. And I was successful. March my ass upstairs. And my wife calls them a frenzy. Like when I go on one of those frenzies, oh, It's like, look out, I'll knock back 2,000 calories just like that. The big takeaway here is, I always talk about it being less fat, but the big issue is the diabetes. I cannot get the beatus, which runs in my family. Rebecca says, who else in your house eats sugar cereals? Wouldn't it be easier to just not buy it? Well, I don't. Pooh Bear and the NFK eat it. Shmoo Money says, you're going to lose about a pound of weight a week at that rate. Hopefully you're getting enough protein to maintain muscle. Yeah, I'm getting north of, I'm keeping track of that too. It's all protein. Pretty much all I eat is protein, very little carbs. I'm getting north of 100 grams a day, sometimes as high as like 120, 130. So that's kept me from being hungry. There's some new recipes that I'm going to try, too, that I'm stoked about. The key is having meat ready to go. So I'm constantly firing up that Showtime, set it and forget it. Getting chicken meat. I always have chicken meat ready to go. Nick says, be careful with too much protein. It can be hard on a kidney. That's true. Shmoo Money, who seems to know things about this, aim for your ideal body weight in grams of protein, 165 pounds, 165 grams. I thought it was 0.8 per pound. That's the math that I was told. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.